Well, I have some questions up.
Yeah, I think I have them like at some level, but
yeah.
They
so
are.
This one was electric.
I keep on labeling. I have it off. I'm aware. I'm actually aware that there's something is labeled quite along there.
I just
So if your rate pays all, then yes, regardless of whether or not the press,
then there's a number of, it gets really, really complicated because obviously you can get different splice variants. And so there are actually arrays that are designed to have pieces from different sections where splices might occur. And so you can have just a single probe that would be for a gene, obviously in the part that would be transcribed. So you can use that for expression profiling, but if you want to ask more complex questions about, well, not only how is it expressed, but are there splice variants, there are arrays that are designed to do that. And so by taking the ratio, let's say you have six spots that represent a single gene. And so you can imagine that if 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 all light up the same way, because it's all spliced the same, right? But if 1, 2, 3, 6, then you've got a different splice change. Yeah. So there are arrays that are designed to do that.
And the last question.
Mm-hmm.
So
I didn't understand why we took some of the teaching here for the university. So why are you taking Mushithausen from the library? Why are you taking the bubbles?
So I said that there were 15 open reading frames. You would design 3,000 primers, yeah. Right? Because to do a PCR reaction, you need two primers for each open reading frame.
Okay. Is it just for the, I mean, just for the PCR reaction?
Yes, just okay. For the PCR reaction. If you were designing a single oligo, it would just be 15 oligos, if you're going to spot oligos. If you're going to do a PCR reaction, you have two primers for every array.
Okay. And suppose we are, like, in the case of this, we are just genome cluster, we are looking at the genome cluster. It is only possible for those for the organism those have the same genes, or for the organism having different strains.
Right. So you're asking. So obviously you're confined by what's on your.
Right.
So if there are genes that are present in your organism. So species don't work so well. So except there, I think there are cases where people have an E. coli and Shigella or similar ways because they're very, very closely related. But you wouldn't put Salmonella field protector, right? The likelihood of getting high enough conservation to there to determine much to be critical. So it's usually not related.
So in this picture, these things are all the same. This one, this brick is the same as that brick.
It's actually a slide, yeah. So they're just slides that were laid on the bed of the,
okay.
The arrayer.
Okay, that's the first question. And then the next question is here with the overlapping color
mm-hmm.
system. So you're saying in the future slide that green is the reference sample
mm-hmm.
and that red is the ones we're testing for.
Mm-hmm.
If we have black, that means both are being expressed.
On the cluster, yes. On the array, it'll appear as yellow.
Yellow,
right.
Okay. Yellow here, and if only red is being expressed, then we would expect to see red.
A red spot.
And if green is the only one there, then green.
Right.
Okay, so then, and both are yellow here.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I guess that's the next question. So how do we, so blue is present, yellow is absent. So if we look at CAG 10 and 3, 4, 2,
mm-hmm.
there's just blue here. So that means it's present for both of those. If looking at CAG 10 and...
Yes, so it says in strain 3, 4, 2, CAG 10 would be present. Yes.
Oh, that's how to read this one. Okay.
Yeah, so these are the strains. and then these are the genes. Or those are the arrays. So in this case, the strains are named by the arrays, but genes are, single gene is horizontal, and all the data is vertical. So if all the data is vertical, then that represents either one array, mm-hmm. and in this case, it's an array as a strain for one strain.
Okay. So each spot here represents an organism?
So it could, so they can be designed in a number of ways. The way I represented it is where each spot was a unique gene for a particular organism. So it could be a combination of genes, though. So, but the example I gave was something like bee anthracis, and it includes anthrax toxin. It's the only organism that includes anthrax toxin. So we could have a probe specific for that toxin, so we could look for its presence. And so that could be a diagnostic.
So three or four genes that are part of anthrax could be represented in each dot, and then you make a probe for that to see if it's represented or not?
But you would probably have them as separate dots, right? And then you would look for, you probably wouldn't, you wouldn't put multiple probes on the same spot. Mm-hmm. It would be multiple spots, but each spot with an individual probe.
Okay. So here, I just missed what green and red were for. So reference, and this is the test, and black is what?
So the black is just the
overlap?
Starting messenger RNA from the two different strains.
Okay.
And it gets reverse transcribed into cDNA, which is labeled with either green or red.
Uh-huh.
Right. And typically green is reference. Not always, but does it say at the bottom there? No, it didn't say. It doesn't say, but so you could wouldn't know for sure because they're arbitrary, but typically green is the reference.
Okay. And so this is mRNA, and then this is
labels. DNA.
Oh, these are the labels, the red and the green.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. What did you say about this particular diagram?
Well, it's just an example of a PIM network, and so with this diagram,
PIM interaction network.
Yeah, and so it tells you basically that key A interacts with these other four proteins.
Okay, I'm very familiar with the PIM diagram. Okay. Okay, and then when you were doing. Dendrogram.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really define what a major node was. So I assume it's anything that has two or more branches coming off of it?
Not always. So this could be a major node even if it was just A and everything else was gone. It's saying that basically there are two major branches where it's the first segment where the families of genes, strains, whatever, segregate. And so it's the major node because they're really the first branches that divide the families.
Would this also be considered a major node, this thing at the top that it seems to be cut away from?
It's not because it's not connected to anything, right? So it's just basically the start of the tree.
Okay.
So, and in fact, some dendrograms don't even show that. Some of them just show the nodes. So that's not a node, but this and this are nodes. Major nodes. because major they're the first segment.
Major nodes are these circle parts here, the intersections.
I actually define them as these first branches as the major nodes. So.
But you were also talking about branches, right? As a separate.
But I put as the same thing, right? Nodes, branches, in parentheses, meaning interchangeable.
Oh. Okay. And here you were also talking about length. Do you mean length in the vertical fashion or in the horizontal fashion?
So actually both are important, but the primary thing I was talking about was in the vertical. So here the fact that B and C are both short and very similar length says that they're more related than D, which has a much longer length from this branching point.
Okay.
If you take an EPI course where people do a lot of dendrograms and segmenting, you'll learn a lot of fancy terms like bootstrap values, etc., which is more complex than you need to know for any of this stuff. So,
is there a course like that here?
There are several EPI courses here. So yeah.
EPI courses?
Yeah. Epidemiology?
Oh, epidemiology. Okay. Thank you. That's all for now.
Okay.
Yeah.